Hello and welcome to Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. This is Jasmine and Bote, who decided that she was going to be in the recording today. And I want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm having fun on season 6, meeting brand new people. And today I have a new person with me. Her name is Lori Carpenos. Hi, Lori.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So everybody knows that I most of the time don't know the people that I've invited. So I give them a little tidbit of why I did this. So the reason why I invited Lori is because she keeps popping up in my world. So I talked to a client and the client's like, did you talk to Lori? And I'm like, Carpenos? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, no, I haven't talked to her yet. And then I talked to Lynn last week, who was on the podcast, and she says, do you know Lori? And I'm like, not yet, but I'm going to. So I decided to reach out to her and invite her on. So thank you for accepting.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it is funny how things happen, right?
Yeah. So we have been talking off camera. Everybody knows I do that too. I start the conversation off camera. So we have been, you know, getting acquainted offline. And she was explaining to me that she basically learned from Sid of the 3 principles of mind, thought, consciousness. Right? You were with Sid when it,
yeah, not when it happened. Quite by accident.
Yeah?
I landed in one of his talks, invited by a boyfriend at the time. And I had never heard of him. And in fact, I was a little put off, like, who is this man? I never heard of him. Yes, you know, because I was in the world of people with PhDs, and you know, that's what you look for if you go to a lecture back then.
Yeah.
Now we know that you just never know where you're going to hear truth.
Yeah. I could get it. I do understand. Like sometimes I listen to some of the talks, especially this week I was listening to an early talk. I could see that it was an early talk. And I couldn't get through it because there's something to it, right? I can't be doing something else while you're listening to Sid. You gotta focus and listen to what he's saying. I'm pretty sure I would have been put off also in the beginning. It's sad, but it is the way that my brain works. But the message that he brings is mind-boggling, simple, and makes your head go, pow. What is the thing? Like, what is it that attracted you or kept you in the inquiry?
Well, that's a great question, because that first talk, Something happened to me that I had never experienced before, and I never experienced since. And it was unusual, to say the least, you know. But it felt to me, and only in retrospect, because I didn't know why this happened, but I started to cry. And it was a small gathering, maybe about 30 people, and I was in the front row, and I was so grateful because the only one who could see her, a lot of tears. This was not just, you know, a simple cry. It was like a lot of tears, like a dam broke loose, and I had no tissues. And, you know, Sid would look at all of us, and he just, you know, he saw me, I'm sure, because he was looking at everybody. And it didn't bother him. But in retrospect, what, you know, because I had to like reflect on what was that? And I realized that it was like I had been carrying the world on my shoulders, not knowing that I was thinking everything was up to me. At that time, I was in my late 20s, well, mid to late 20s, I guess. And I wanted to have a family. I wanted to have a husband. I wanted to have children. And I was thinking, well, you know, it's getting, get moving, Lori, get going. You got to do this. You got to make this happen. And whatever Sid said, it was like, wow, it's not up to me. What happens in my life? To a degree, it's up to us. I mean, you know, we're the ones deciding, do I go left or right? Do I walk down this street, drive down that road? We are deciding, but there is definitely something that is greater than us making a decision that's prodding us along, whether we know it or not. Like when, before you started the recording, Jasmine, I was talking about how I drove 3,500 miles in my, I was 25 at the time, going from the East Coast, Connecticut, to California in search of work as an art therapist. I left a perfectly good job that I wouldn't be able to go back to. So I had made the decision. This is where I'm going to make my home. And this is where I'm going to be an art therapist in my mind. Well, I was an art therapist for a very short time. Two interesting places, you know, the VA hospital being one. And I'm so glad I had that experience. It was a mind blower. Short time there. And Children's Hospital at Stanford University, where I was exposed to things that the residents were attending, these meetings and court classes that I could attend. And, you know, free of charge, I wasn't paying the Stanford University tuition. So it was like all these wonderful things were happening. But the most wonderful thing was what happened to me sitting in front of Sid Banks speaking, I don't know what. I don't know what he said, but the feeling was so much relief. It was a feeling of, oh my gosh, what relief. And you know, when you're under the gun, thinking that you've got to make everything that's supposed to happen in your life happen, you don't even realize that you're under the gun, your own gun. You don't even realize that you're doing it to yourself. At least I didn't. Until later.
Yeah.
Not until I started to hear what Sid was talking about.
So you haven't, have you identified what kept it's what kept you in the wanting to know more? Because one of the things that you said when we were off camera was, you're like, I'm going anytime he's going to talk, I'm going. You made it a mission that you were going to be there. So did you like, what is it that you heard? I think I actually heard what you said. It's like you heard truth without.
No, I wouldn't have labeled it as that. I would not have labeled it, but certainly you heard correctly that it was a profound realization that I would have such a feeling, such a profound feeling of relief that I knew there was something there for me to learn more, hear more. You know, I just knew I wanted to listen more to, you know, it never happened again where I burst into tears like a dam had broken.
Yeah.
That didn't happen again, but
I think that it's different for everybody. I remember having a conversation because I I remember when I came into the conversation also to I started listening to this on understanding. It was like, you know, everybody was talking about these, Michael Neal calls it the holy fucking mother of God moments. Like, you know, that's what he calls them. So everybody's talking about these moments and I'm just like, okay, well, yeah, but I didn't have one of those, you know? But I had a conversation with someone and she was like, for me, excuse me, we're recording a podcast. So for me, it was like, just like small things that like after years, you kind of wake up going, wait, this has changed. Like, you know, like I didn't even realize it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I love that, right? That we realize to this day, and look at how many years later it is, to this day. I mean, it just happened yesterday, in fact. I'm doing a program with, I was mentioning Wendy Williams to you. She's a nurse in Massachusetts. I'm back in Connecticut, by the way, for many years now. And so we're doing a program on listening. And yeah, it's wonderful. And I said, Wendy, you won't believe this, because we talk about, you know, when we offer programs, and it's like you're offering this program, right, Jasmine? Look at how much you have gained, I'm sure, from these conversations. Like, you get an insight from somebody else's insight.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's almost like can't think of the word, where we're just picking up from one another. We're getting touched by other people's stories, and that touches something deep within us. And it feels like an aha moment that we may not even realize, like you said, in the moment, until in retrospect, it's like, wow, I really saw something new that I hadn't seen before. Yeah.
It's for me, it's, there's something that's changed where I'm starting to get curious about things that are kind of like coming out of my mouth, or sometimes I have automatic reactions. There are things like that I react to and I kind of go, what was that? What was that? And just looking at it, as opposed to before, where there was a reaction and then it was somebody else's fault. It was like, it was because of an outside factor, right? Now it's more of a, what's going on? The other day, the I'm going to tell this story. So when I was in my 20s, I lived in an apartment, and there was a neighbor on the floor above me, and we did not have a good relationship, and there was trauma that occurred for me. Like for me, I've realized two things lately. I'm sweet. I realize this here. I'm finding it funny now, because it's just very funny, because I've always had this big facade of, I'm strong, you can't touch me. You know, like, I created this because younger, I was sweet. I'm a sweet person. I like, you know, I like tenderness, and I like love and peace and butterflies. This is what I love. But I was taught that it was not right, right? That I shouldn't be like that. That's what I made up anyways. I'm not sure that that's what I thought. That's what I was taught, but that's what I thought. And so the other day, the door rings, And I've realized, like last year, I said, I think I have PTSD. I think I have like when something happens with neighbors, I have a rush of emotions that comes. And the doorbell rang. I went to pick up whatever they were delivering, and then a neighbor opened their door and said, "Can you come and see me?" And Lori, if you would have felt the feelings that came from those four words, "Can you come and see me?" Five words, maybe six. It was like crazy. Like the stress in my body that came, and I was like, okay, I'm never going to be able to eat. I can't do this. I have to go talk to her now. And in my mind, I was making up so much stuff, but it was very scary, right? And when I opened the door, she just opened the door like this, and she pointed down the ground, and I see this little puppy, this little ball of love coming to me, and I'm like, oh, I'm just like, the emotions, just like, oh my God, that all of that other fear was totally gone, transformed into I'm in love with this animal. Instantly, it was instantaneous. But, and all she wanted to show me was her dog. You know, and I came back and I sat and I was like, wow, that is like, that's amazing what comes up without me even knowing. I wasn't there. I was working. The knock on the door. She opens the door. She says, "Can I see you?" And poof, it was like crazy, right? But none of it was true.
Yes. Wonderful. Isn't that interesting when you realize what you just experienced explains what you heard from Sid? Right? To me, that has been really interesting in my life as well. Like something will happen so similar to that experience that you had. And you're really taken aback because it's so different from how in the past, or something like that could have very well happened in your past, but you wouldn't have reflected on it. You know, oh, cute dog, adorable, adorable. And then you go back and you go about your day. But because of your understanding about the fact that life happens through us, this is an inside out world. It's not happening to us. It's happening through the way we
True.
perceive things, how we think about what's happening.
Yeah, I love that. It kind of, I'm hearing it in a different, I'm hearing it on another level. Life happens through us. Like, so it's literally like it was through me. So I could have come in. This reminds me of a story that I don't remember who told this story, and you might know this story, but I remember, you know, this person having a breakdown with their car, and they're walking on the streets, and they're like, okay, where can I get help? And they're just walking, and they're alone, and they see this barn somewhere up top, and they're like, I'm gonna walk to the barn. And on their way there, they're having these conversations in their head, like, oh, well, what am I gonna do? Like, how am I gonna knock? What am I gonna say? Okay, I'm gonna tell them my car broke down. And then, but what if they say, well, I don't care? And then I'm gonna be like, well, you have to care. Come on, where am I gonna go otherwise? And this person is just having this whole conversation. And by the time he gets to the door, he knocks on the door. The person opens the door with a big smile. Hello, can I help you? And he says, fine, don't help me. He walks away. And you know, it's kind of like he believed everything that was happening in his mind and totally lost his presence when the person was just like, hey, what can I do to help you? And I think we do that a lot.
Oh, yeah. We
Like,
all, yeah, humans do that.
so you were talking about you're doing a class right now about listening.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, and we're learning just as much as everybody else
Yeah.
in this group. Yeah, it's really beautiful. Yeah, so many things, you know, arise that you don't realize until you realize. Right? And it's beyond the intellect.
Yeah.
That's where the juice is, because we are so used to being up in our intellect, trying to figure things out and, you know, comparing, contrasting, trying to understand that way. I mean, we've been socialized that way in school,
Yeah,
you know, that.
I agree with you. I've said this before also. It's kind of like something happens and then we're kind of like, okay, let me think about it. Let me see how I'm going to react about it. And it's kind of like, no, that's the past. How do you want to react now? Like, what is it that you want to do now? Like, can you bring yourself to now and look at it in the new way, because you're not the person that you were then, you know? So you could have a different, totally different reaction, totally different outcome, totally different. Everything can get created in the now.
Yeah, and you know, like our transformations happen without us knowing. Right? We
Yeah.
could be like the last to know. Other people might notice that we've changed. But when you're in your own self, you don't even notice. It's really
Let me
interesting.
ask you, there's something that popped up as you were speaking. Because when you said the word change, I kind of heard, you didn't say that. I heard there was a problem with me, and then I fixed it and I changed. And I don't want people to think that, because that's not what we're talking about.
Right. Change happens automatically without us doing anything, without us even trying. And I've got a great example from just the other day.
Okay.
Somebody told me about a book, and it sounded like, I don't remember the title, but the title sounded like it would be written by somebody in the Three Principles community. And I said, I don't recognize the author, I don't recognize the name of the book, but it's a great title. And think, don't believe everything you think. I think that's the name of it.
Okay.
And so I look it up, and there's like 7,000 reviews. I mean, Christine Heath and I wrote a book 5 years ago, and I don't even think we got to 100. You know, I mean, how does somebody get that many reviews? And so the person who told me about the book said, and this is somebody who didn't know about the Three Principles. He said to me, well, are you jealous? And I thought, no, not only am I not jealous, but the fact that he asked me, I realized that's not an emotion that I have about anything. That blew me away because
That is fantastic.
you know how people talk about pre-principles and post-principles? I mean, I don't know how far into the principles you have to go to have something change like that. I did not even realize that I don't get jealous. What a relief. I'm sure I did when I was younger, you know.
I got jealous. One of the things that's changed for me is the comparing. Like, I would compare myself to others. They're better than me. you know, so that would make me insecure, because then, you know, I just saw through. There's a truth that showed up for me in that converse, in that understanding, in that seeing that I don't need to compare myself. It's like, and I remember, Lori, people would come to me and I would be insecure because I thought I would have to be something other than I was. Like that mind freak my mind out, right? It was kind of like when I would meet somebody, I'd have to be somebody else, and then I would eventually revert, because you can't sustain being somebody else. It's not sustainable, right? So the nature of yourself comes back, will always come back. And then I'd be me, and then things would go like really well. And then I'd have the thought, I can't be me. And then things would go to shits. You know? And it was like, I couldn't understand, why is it that sometimes it's all good and sometimes it's not good? And I think I just let go of trying to be somebody else and just started to see who I truly was. And then I get that some people don't like me. You know, I had a conversation, I had a first conversation, right? I have these first conversation and people come and talk to me for like a 30 minute to see if we're gonna be working together. And in that conversation, this person told me, if I would have listened to what you did before, I probably would not have signed up.
Interesting.
And I was just like, and first of all, like I was taken aback to begin with. And I was like, and then I saw that in her thinking, like I needed to be somebody, like if I was a strategic business partner or a strategic coach, I had to be something other than who I was. But in that conversation, she saw, I really don't care now that I think about it. Like she was like, wow, I'm happy that I came to the conversation.
You know, there's a label called imposter syndrome, right? So when people try to be somebody that they're not, it comes across as inauthentic. And it's not gonna go anywhere because it's like fake. And there's when you were talking about that, it came to me this saying, just be yourself because everybody else is taken.
The one that I
Be
love,
yourself, everyone else is taken. I get a kick out of that.
the one I heard was from Pharrell Williams. He's a singer and he was a coach on a show called The Voice. I don't know if you know of that show, but they basically teach singers, right? It's a singing competition. So, and then there are these coaches, and Pharrell Williams is a popular singer. And he said, stop trying to be like this person, because if you try to be like that person, you're always going to be second best.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, that's a great way to frame it, right?
Yeah, so I don't even play with the best anymore. You know, like I just like, I'm going to be me. I'm going to give you 100% of me right now. So I don't have the pressure of, did I meet this criteria? Did I meet this criteria? Did I do this properly? Did I do that properly?
You don't want to have that on your mind, that's for sure. That'll get in the way of listening big time, right?
Definitely, definitely. Like that's why I don't plan for the podcast either. I kind of listen, you know, and then I'm like, oh, Ooh, ah, ooh. Like it's a flow, it's a conversation that we're having. It's not a planification.
Oh, interesting. Planification. I never heard that, but yeah.
That's a French word. That's why you've never heard it.
Oh.
It's basically planning.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. It could have been a made-up English word because we get it. We've a different language, but we still get the gist of it.
And I think that's what I love about what you said. It's not intellectual. It's, it's a spirit, it's a feeling, it's spiritual. So the word really don't matter. It's kind of like, are you feeling something in this conversation? Are you like some people don't get through the conversations? Like, I mean, I know because I look at my listening, statistics, and people don't get through the conversation. Yeah, because they're looking for information. We're not talking about information here. There's no content. It's a feeling. And I'm hoping people will get the feeling.
Yeah, I mean, Sid said often in his talks, look beyond the word. Don't listen to my words. And how do you translate that? I didn't know what he was talking about, but I have a gander now what he was trying to get across. Yeah, because words, people have their own interpretation. They create their own interpretation of what people are saying anyway. So it's coming from them. It's their take on on what's happening. And
I learned. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead.
that's okay, you go. No.
Well, what I was saying was I was going to say was I learned this young because my first language is French.
Oh, wow.
And so I learned English as a second language. And when I was younger, the words that I was using, I associated them to a French word, right? So a lot of the times I would use a word, but that was supposed to mean, the English word was supposed to mean what the French word meant. But as I grew up, I realized that a lot of the English word I was using was absolutely not what it meant. And I can tell you that even today, sometimes I use words like that. There was a word now, not so much, but I used to use the word brat a lot. I'm just a brat. And I was using it as I'm a funny girl and I'm playing like that. But that's not what the word brat means, So I've never been a brat, really. But you find that out later. But it didn't matter because when I said it, people were just like, oh, she's cute,
Oh, that's funny.
The words, it's the essence that it's the come from. It's like, I would tell people, like and this with animals too, right? With animals, you can say, oh, you're such a gorgeous dog. And she's going to be like, oh, I know I'm a gorgeous dog. And I can say, you're so ugly. You know what? You're so ugly. And she still loves me. The word doesn't matter. Right? But we're the same. Human beings are the same. Like I could be saying, coming from a space of, you're an idiot and telling you, you're really great. And people know that you're coming from, you actually think I'm an idiot. There's an energy flowing that we don't even know we're identifying.
That's right. That's so true. Yeah, I love that. There's an energy, a flow of energy, and it's the feeling that people pick up. Yeah, that's something that was really big for me to see from you, Sid, that it's in the feeling. That's what you want to look for. Look for a nice feeling because you can trust that.
Yeah.
Wisdom comes with a nice feeling.
Even if in the moment, the feeling is good. If you're feeling good, you can trust it. You can trust this feeling. But it doesn't mean to it, we're not talking about a situation. We're talking about a feeling. So like you could be riding your car and feeling good and be heading for a wall. Maybe you need to open your eyes still, right? It's in the
It's
moment. In the moment, how are you feeling right now?
I don't know. I'm looking out a window and I don't know. Peace. Peace is what comes to mind. The not this like nothing is stirring around me.
It's the best place to be at. I love that place.
To be there without expectation that it should be any different. Yeah, that's where the magic is. And I've also learned to trust. I don't have to fill up space. I don't have to talk. I don't have to keep something going because that takes a lot of mental activity, and that's not where the beauty is. That's not where the gems are. Not, we need the intellect, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think it just we don't need to, but let's not let the intellect lead. Like, there's a shift occurring. Like, let this feeling guide you. Instead of this feeling.
This feeling being working, grinding, figuring, calculating. We need to do that sometimes. I mean, I just had to do a lot of calculations for tax season, and I did my best to make it fun, to, well, I'm just gonna do what I have to do here, put numbers in boxes, and play as much as possible. But then when we get these fearful thoughts like, oh, am I going to have to pay too much in taxes? Or, how's this going to affect me next month? Those thoughts will come. And I've learned enough, thank heavens, and always more to learn, but enough to know, like, let the other trap door open. It comes in one trap door and let it out the other one, so in one ear, out the other, to dwell on fearful thinking. Yeah, why did I ever do that? Comes to my mind because I didn't know better. I didn't know better.
Misunderstanding.
Innocent. It's understanding. Yes, that's the key.
Yeah, I thought for sure if I think about it long enough, I'm gonna solve it. Yeah, that works for math problems sometimes.
Math problems. Have you had the experience where you can't figure it out and you say, oh God, I gotta go do something else? You take a shower, you take a walk, you come back, and it's like staring you in the face. It's obvious. The
That's
solution
true.
is obvious. Like, why didn't I see that previously? Because I was bearing down, trying so hard, which isn't to say that sometimes, in the effort, we will see something. But I've learned to trust an open mind. I've learned to trust that because I've seen it doesn't fail me. Even if I don't get an answer for days on end, I'm going to get the best answer.
That's again, that's the word trust, right? Trust it's going to happen. I was having the same conversation with a girlfriend. She's recognizing herself right now. And it was kind of like, I was like, but you gotta trust. And she's like, I can't trust. And I was like, well, do you trust that the sun will get up, you know, in the morning? Like, you don't, I mean, you don't have to, because there's that word again, right? Oh, but trusting is believing. No, not necessarily. You know, so whatever word you want to use, you know, tomorrow the sun will get up, you know, the sun will rise. You might not see it, but you know it's there. And this clarity of mind, this peace is in you. Just know, if you don't see it right now, know it's there. You might not see it right now.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I just realized in listening to you, Jasmine, that trust for me, like I'm not good at blind trust. I've never been good at that. But if I see something over and over, you know, I don't know, is there like critical mass of times you have to see something before you realize, yeah, I can trust that. I can trust that when I go outside and it's raining without an umbrella, I'm going to get wet because it's happened over and over again. You know, sometimes some things only have to happen twice, but other things have to happen lots of times before I realize I can trust that. Like the feeling deal, like hearing the words, Sid say, look for a good feeling. Well, that was meaningless because I was listening to words. Where do I look? Under a rock? Do I look at my belly button? Where do I look for a good feeling, right? But then I caught on through grace. I don't know how I caught on, but at some point I realized, wow, that must be what Sid was talking about, because I have a good feeling now, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this answer that came to me is the correct answer of how to deal with XYZ. And that happened enough over time for me to get the feel of trusting in a nice feeling that that will deliver a good answer that will be good for everybody. Now that blew my mind. It's not like it's just going to be good for me and it's going to ruin other people's lives or harm them in any way. It's going to be good for all of them also. That's really a mind blower. You know, that kind of trust. Like, yeah. If it's not good for everybody, then that's not the right answer. And I mean, you take big things like divorce, and you're thinking, well, a lot of times it's good for one, but it's not good for the other. But I have seen so many people that the one who thought it wasn't so good wound up realizing that was really a good thing. That was the right thing. And that helped me with this, that, or the other.
I totally agree. Lori, thank you so much for invite for accepting my invitation.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This has been really fun. We could go on and on, couldn't
I
we?
know we could. I know we could. But before we stop the recording, is there like if somebody would like to reach out to you, like they want to talk to you, how could they do that?
Well, my website is under construction, but it is the number 3principlestherapy.com.
Okay, three
Not that I'm a
principles
therapist,
therapy.
you know, I'm not old, you know, the traditional therapist, of course. All I do is listen and share what I have found through innate health and the three principles. That's, you know, that's all you need. There's no imposter then. That's an
Fantastic.
understanding of how we work. That's it in a nutshell. When any of us, you, me, anybody listening, begins to really see, oh my gosh, this really is how we work from inside out, life becomes so much easier.
There you go, guys. Life becomes so much easier. If you want that, you go see Lori. She's going to teach you or point you to it or share what she knows. Whatever works for you. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
For accepting. And so I'm going to tell everybody listening to just dream it, dare it, do it, and live the life you want. And I'll see you next episode. Take care. Bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Thanks so much. Yeah.